Well, in today's lesson, I want to share some more with you about finances. In our last session, we tried to explain that it is God's will for you to prosper financially. And now I want to give you some keys about how does it work. And there's so much that could be said on this. I'm just having to really abbreviate this, and I pray that you'll study it and get a lot more out of it. But one passage of Scripture, there's very many, but it says in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." There's a lot of principles involved in prosperity, but you can't talk about financial prosperity without talking about your giving. Your giving is what releases God's abundance into your life. You must give. There's so many scriptures that talk about a tithe. In the Old Testament, the tithe was the standard. And then there were offerings and things on top of that. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing which you shall not have room enough to receive." There's so many times that the scriptures just talk about giving. And yet when you go to talking about financial prosperity, a lot of people will say, "All right, so God wants to prosper me, but I don't have it to give." Well, there's a number of things you need to learn. First of all, as the Lord starts talking about prosperity, He said, first of all, that you give 10%. Notice He didn't put a dollar amount on it, but rather He put a percentage on it. Now, what this means is that any person listening to me can give. You have something to give. If all you've got's a dime, then a penny is a tithe. And you know the way God looks at it? He sees that as just as great a gift as the person who gives $1,000 off of $10,000. God doesn't look at the dollar amount, but rather He looks at the percentage. You can see this in the parable where Jesus talked about the little widow that threw her last two mites into the offering. And it said that He had been beholding all of the rich people come by, and these people had cast in huge amounts of money, large sums of money. And yet He called His disciples together and He says, "This woman cast in more than all of them, because they gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty." See, God does not evaluate your gift, the size of your gift, by its monetary value, but rather He looks at the percentage of what you had to give. A person who says, "I don't have anything to give," that's not true. Everybody's got something. If nothing else, you could take a piece of clothing that you've got. You could take things that you have and give financially away. But every person has something to give. So you need to do away with this argument that "I don't have anything to give." As a matter of fact, when you seem to have little of anything is when your giving can be a greater percentage than at any other time. A person who has $10 and gives away $5 is a person that is given a much larger gift than a person that gives away $1 million when they have billions and billions left. See, God has set it up so that every single person can give. Every single person can operate in this. And another argument that I hear often is people will say, "Well, I want to give, but I just don't have it right now. I'll give as soon as I get some extra." Well, see, you're missing the real purpose behind giving. Why is it that God told us to give? Why didn't God set it up some other way so that money just came unto us and that we didn't have to give? Well, there's a lot of things involved, but one of the main purposes is that God wants you to trust Him in every area of your life. He doesn't want you to departmentalize your relationship with Him into a Sunday part or a religious side where you give God everything. But then you spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week out there making money, and then in that area, you're just totally on your own. God's not involved. No, God wants to be involved in everything you do. So how is it that He gets you to trust Him? Well, it's real simple. He says, "Give me 10% of everything that you've got." And you know what? If there isn't a God, and if God's word wasn't true when He said, "Give and it shall be given unto you," then taking a portion of what you have and giving it away is the stupidest thing you could ever do. Instead of moving towards your goal of having all of your needs met, you're actually moving away from it if God hasn't promised to bless you. So you know what? It takes faith to be able to give the way that God says. And that's the whole reason that God told you to give. So the person who's saying, "Well, wait until I have some extra, and then I'm going to start tithing." In a sense, what you're saying is, wait until I can give, and if that money doesn't come back to me, if God's word doesn't work, then I can still make it without it. But see, you're missing the whole point. You aren't giving in faith. You're saying, "Wait until I can give, and I don't have to have faith and trust God for it to come back." No, the whole purpose behind God wanting you to give is because He wants you to trust Him. And there's so many scriptures on this. In Luke chapter 16, he talks a parable there about a steward who had cheated his master, etc. And finally, it comes down and he says, if you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, talking about money, then who's going to commit to your trust the true riches? If you haven't believed God in these smaller things concerning money, then how are you ever going to get on to the more important things concerning spiritual values, etc.? In other words, those scriptures make money one of the least levels of stewardship. If you can't trust God with your finances, then how can you trust Him with your eternal destiny? How can you truly believe that Jesus has forgiven your sins and that you're going to spend eternity in heaven? In comparison, the spiritual things that we supposedly put our faith in the Lord over are much more significant than money. Money is a minor thing, and it's the bottom line of starting to trust God. A person who says, but I can't give, I've got so many bills. You are looking at it without seeing the spiritual side, without seeing what God can do. When you obey the Lord and when you begin to start giving financially, God gets involved in your finances. And God begins to take that 90% that you have left, and it will go further than the person who tries to use 100% of what they've got. This is illustrated so many ways in the Bible. In the scripture, the children of Israel gave one day of every week to the Lord, and they just took off and didn't work. And all of the nations around them were working 7 days a week, and yet the Jews began to prosper more than all the other nations. And then the Jews also took off 1 out of 7 years and didn't plant their crops, and they couldn't reap anything that just grew naturally. They had to leave it for the poor and for other people, for the beast of the field. And you would think about that and say, well, how could you live? How could you survive? God said He would bless them in the 6 years so that they'd have 3 times a normal increase to last them through the 6th year, through the 7th year when they weren't planting anything, and then back to the 8th year when they planted their crops. God would multiply them on that 6th year with 3 times a normal increase. And it's the same thing. When we begin to trust God with our finances, when you begin to give first, then you'll find out that the Lord will give back unto you. God will never become a debtor to any man. He'll never let you outgive Him. As you begin to give, God gives back unto you. The scripture says in Proverbs 11, there are some that give away more than it looks like is necessary, and yet they prosper. And then there's others that tend to hoard what they had, and it only causes poverty on the inside of them. So many examples in scripture. The widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, who was about to starve to death, the man of God came to her and says, give me some food to eat. And she said, this is my last little bit of food. If I was going to fix this for me and my son, and we're going to die. But He says, you make first and give to me. And then God said He'd take care of you. And that story goes on that this little bit of oil, the little bit of meal that this woman had, lasted for 3 years. It just kept multiplying every day because she put God first. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then God will add these things to you. A person who says, well, I want God to help me in finances, and you're praying for God to help you, but if you aren't putting first the kingdom of God, if you aren't taking a step of faith with your finances and trusting God and giving, well, then you really aren't trusting God, because the promises in God's Word are abundant about how when you give, He gives back unto you. So it really just comes down to a matter of faith. Do we really believe God? Do we really believe that when we give, God is going to supernaturally undertake for me? Or do we see that when we give, that money is just gone? The truth is that when you give with the right attitude, that money never leaves your life. It just enters into your future, where it grows and it multiplies. Actually, when you're in need, and when what you have in your hand isn't enough to meet your need, then what you need to do is turn it into a seed and sow it and plan for the future. And when you give like that, God is well pleased. God is pleased when you start giving with a heart like that. So if you want to experience God's prosperity, you need to first of all believe that it is God's will for you to prosper financially. You need to believe, according to 2 Corinthians 8:9, that that's a part of what Jesus died to do, just as much as forgiveness of sins. It says that Jesus became poor for us so that we might be made rich. That's the same thing that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says when it says that Jesus became sin for us so that we could be redeemed from sin. Jesus became poor so that we could be redeemed from poverty. The Lord wants you to prosper. And if you really believe that, then prove it. Trust Him by giving. And if there isn't a God, and if God's Word isn't true, well, then this is crazy. But since there is a God, and since God's Word is true, then as you give, that's your way towards prosperity. The way up in God's kingdom is down. The way towards having more in God's kingdom is to give, not to hoard. And so I challenge you today to look up some of these scriptures we've talked about. Talk about it, pray about it, and begin to recognize that you can give your way out of your poverty. You can trust God. You can begin to honor Him with the first fruits of your increase. And as you do, God's prosperity will manifest itself in your life, not just for you, but so that you can be a blessing and that you can abound unto every good work that God has for you.